Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We'll be starting there in just a moment. We have a lot of visitors today who've stopped by on their way. And it's such an encouragement for us to have the visitors like this. And we're so glad that you've come our way. The singing has been excellent. The preaching has been excellent. But now you've got me, so... I'm going to read from chapter 5 to begin with, verses 14 and 15 of 1 Thessalonians. These two scriptures say, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for yourselves and for all." I want to focus a bit on the exhortation of Paul to this church and consider the word good. That which we are to pursue, it says, for everyone, including ourselves. Now, with my limited ability, I'm going to try to understand just exactly what this word good means and how we need to react. Now, Vine says that in general, the word good or goodness describes that which, being good in its character or constitution, is beneficial in its effect. In effect, I think Vine defines doing good as morally honorable, pleasing to God. And in the first Thessalonians here, verses 14 and 15, I think this would come to mean warning those who are unruly and comforting those who are despondent and giving strength to those whose faith may be failing, being patient with everyone, all to lead to pleasing God. Furthermore, Vaughn cites Richard C. Trench, an 1800s preacher and scholar of words, who declared that goodness in the Bible, on the one hand, is that which is kind in nature, and on the other hand, includes sterner qualities by which doing good to others leads to a beneficial outcome. So I just conclude from this perspective of Vine and Trench, who are a whole lot smarter than I am, that there are acts of goodness that are kind in nature, and there are acts of goodness that may require sterner measures. And the purpose of all of this is to have a beneficial effect, which obviously are to exhibit that behavior that pleases God, consistent, I think, with New Testament teaching. So let's consider a few examples to help us to see what I mean. So turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 25. Luke chapter 10. And let's read from verses 25 to 37. This is a parable that's well known to all of us, but I think it helps us to see what we're talking about here. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, whatever more you spend. When I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. You know, the Samaritan, you know, if you have a Bible like mine, you might have a little heading here before these verses. Mine says the parable of the good Samaritan. But you notice the word good does not appear in this whole thing. Not at all. So, what does it mean that he's a good? Why was he a good Samaritan? Well, the Samaritan took care of the man, which Jesus proclaimed was merciful. I think we can see the application of the parable here. The act of goodness by the Samaritan was kind, comforting, and beneficial in its effect. An example of loving your neighbor as yourself. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, where we have the parable of the workers in the vineyard where the last laborers received the same pay as the first. Chapter 20, and let's read from verses 11 through 16. And when they had received it, and we're talking about these our laborers in a vineyard, and they were promised to receive a certain pay. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarii? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or has your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few chosen. The application of this parable is good, and it's attributed to the landowner. He was accused, I think, of acting improperly by one of the laborers, who obviously felt that the landowner's decision was wrong, to which the landowner replied his decision was lawful, and therefore it was good. In other words, he had the right to act as he did. However, some of the laborers, of course, did not agree with it. They felt this was unfair. But the landowner had the right to do what he did. He was the owner, and each of the laborers received what they had promised. And that's what makes this landowner good. Now, I think this has reference to the end time, when we stand before God. And God is all righteousness, all holy. And he will render good to those who are faithful in his word. In the day of judgment, God's judgment will be good because each will receive what God has promised. Now, returning to 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we learn that we are to warn those who are unruly, a word that Strong defines as insubordinate. And for any of you who may have been in the military, you learn pretty quickly what insubordination means. It simply means that you're not obedient. And we are to warn a brother or a sister who is unruly or not pleasing to God is not in doubt from this scripture. However, how we warn or admonish a brother or sister for whatever reason is often left to judgment. It can be gentle, or it can be more of a sterner nature. You know, I think that when we read in the parable of the Good Samaritan, we understand what it means to be gentle in nature. When we have to acknowledge someone and help them to see what the scriptures say. But there are also times, I think, when we see an example of a more sterner nature. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Again, this is a this is familiar to all of us, but I'd like to read verses 11 through 14 in Galatians chapter 2. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself. Fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not all the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that you might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Paul confronted Peter to his face. He called Peter's behavior hypocrisy, saying that Peter and those who followed Peter's behavior were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. The English Standard Version says that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. We're not privileged to really what the problem was, but I think it may have something to do with chapter 3 here, verses 26 through 29. For you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I think what Paul said to Peter and others indeed can be classified as harsh words, a bit of a sterner meaning, who not only was straightforward in his confrontation with Peter, but who made this whole incident public at the time through this letter to all the churches of Galatia. Now, I must confess from my own personal disposition that I think Paul may have been harsh in his admonishing Peter. But you know what? My feeling aside, the real question is this: was what Paul did good and beneficial? Because that's what good is. Good is doing what needs to be done that results in a beneficial outcome. So I can only surmise that it was based on Peter's words. That it was based on Peter's words in 2 Peter 3, verses 14 and 15. Let's read these. That it was beneficial. That what Paul did was beneficial to Peter. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 in 2 Peter chapter 3. Therefore, beloved, this is Peter, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found in, by him in peace without spot and blameless, and consider that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. What do we see here? We see, I think, that Peter is acknowledging Paul in his wisdom and in his preaching. Even though my feeling is that this was perhaps a bit sterner, you know, R.C., can't forget his name here, Trench, says that there are two ways to approach things. One of them is a gentle way, and sometimes it takes a little bit more sterner measure. Galatians was written in the early 50s and 2 Peter in the mid-60s. So it was 10 years or so before we have information regarding the attitude of Peter toward Paul, who Peter called my beloved brother. So, as a brother of Christ used to say to me, what is the upshot of all of this? Well, first, I would conclude that there is behavior contrary to the Word of God that needs to be confronted. It needs to be. Second, We should confront behavior that is not pleasing to God with an attitude that is kind in nature as much as possible. As much as possible. However, I think we need to recognize and acknowledge that there are times when a more sterner approach that is not gentle in nature is probably appropriate. I say probably appropriate. Because the lines between number one and number two and number two and number three are not always easy to discern and requires a lot of prayer and thoughtful judgment, whatever the case may be. Remember the objective here. The objective is a beneficial effect that leads people to Jesus Christ, faithfulness to Him, and leads us to heaven. We all want to receive what God has promised here on earth and in eternity with Him. And all of us working together and helping each other will get us there. And at times, it's going to require that we talk about things. But we do it in such a way that it will have a beneficial effect to get us all to heaven, every one of us. And at the outset, what we want to do is to be gentle in nature. We want to be kind. We want to be considerate. We want to help people. But we also need to acknowledge that sometimes we have to be just a bit more sterner. That's what I see and I read in the scriptures when I begin to understand the word good. And good has as its objective is to be beneficial. Beneficial to help all of us to get stronger in the Lord, to be what God wants us to be so in such a way that on that last day, when we're standing behind, in front of the true landowner of our souls, that is God, that He can say, "Well done well, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of heaven." That's what we want. That's what we need. And working together, we can get there. Each and every one of us. This is a tremendous congregation. This is the best congregation that I have ever worshiped with. We are at peace. We have harmony. We have unity. We love each other. We help each other. And what we need to do is to continue that we live in such a way that we help each other, that all of us get to heaven. Every last one of us. That is good. That's what defines good. And that's what we need to be. If there's anyone here who has never named the name of Jesus Christ, who's never yielded your will to Him, we offer you this opportunity. This is a good time. A really good time to come before these brethren, to admit that you're a sinner, to repent of those things, to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and to go down into that watery grave of baptism, come up a new man, a new person, ready to lead a life that pleases God and that helps others. And if you need just the prayers of this congregation or the help in any way, let it be known. We are always ready to stand together, to help each other. Because in the end, what all of us want is to be in heaven with God for eternity. That's what He has promised us. He is the landowner of our souls. He is the landowner. And on the day of judgment, He's going to speak to each one of us individually. That's what He's going to do. And what we need to do is be ready to stand before Him. And if that requires the help of our brethren, we need to ask for it. If there's any way that we can help you, let us make your needs known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.